I thank you for tuning in, and I wanted to share with you a message that I call the unmasking. Do you ever see those two faces, like you go to a theater, one face is sad, one play? Well, that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes we as people, we run around all the time with masks on. Well, let me show you and let you understand what Jesus did in Luke chapter 4, verses 20 through 30. Now, as last week, we ended up with the prophecy from Isaiah, so I'll pick it up in verse 20. He rolled up the scroll, he being Jesus, handed it back to the attendant, sat down, and everyone in the synagogue stared at him intently. And then they said, "This scripture has come true today before your very eyes." Well, all who were there spoke well of him and were amazed by the gracious words that fell from his lips. But they said, "How can this be? Isn't this Joseph's son?" Red letter edition, Jesus said, "Probably you will quote me that proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself,' meaning, why don't you do miracles here in your hometown like you did in Capernaum? But the truth is, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Certainly, there were many widows in Israel who needed help in Elijah's time. And when there was no rain for 3.5 years and hungry stalked the land, Elijah was not sent to any of them. Instead, he was sent to the widow of Zarephath, a foreigner in the land of Sidon. Or think of the prophet Elisha, who healed Naaman, a Syrian, rather than the many lepers in Israel who needed help." Verse 28 through 30 says, "When they heard this, the people in the synagogue were furious. Jumping up, they mobbed him and took him to the edge of the hill which the city was built. They intended to push him over the cliff, but he slipped away through the crowd and left them." Well, may God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. I think most of us has heard of the Phantom of the Opera, but I don't think I ever saw the Phantom of the Opera. But most of us know about Mardi Gras, because we're coming up on the time of the year where they have Mardi Gras in New Orleans, or we really know and heard of Halloween. Maybe the Mosque of the Red Death. I don't know. I'm not sure anymore all the time. Because we all wear masks. And sometimes we as people, in fact, had a kind of a fascination with masking. Whether we're masking ourselves or unsure who lies behind the mask of someone else. Well, masks intrigue us. And we revealed our excitement for mystery in the unknown. But what lurks behind the mask of the Phantom? We want to know. Is he disfigured? Is he shy? Is he a hero? Is he a psychopath? I think our curiosity hooks us until the end when his true nature is revealed. Who is it behind the mask at Halloween? Children love that guessing game, don't they? As much as the game of hide and seek. From masquerade, who done it? Parties, blindfolded parties, games, pin the tail on the donkey. I think we all find great fun in hiding, even if it's just a little while. But let's face it, we adore masks. Now, we adore masks in our society, too, in our social circles, in our churches. Masks are allowing us to put forth a persona that we like more than we like ourselves. Masks also help us to project a personality that seems more acceptable to others than we perceive. We will accept for ourselves, and masks permit us to be one way or seem another in ways that we find socially most advantageous to us until we are revealed, until the lights are turned on and we stand naked and exposed for exactly who we are. Well, that's the world we live in, isn't it? But our scripture today, Jesus is that light, that brash revealing, as we talked about last week, the great reveal. A ray that centers on Nazareth in a rash, harsh way. In one swift act, he reveals their hidden motives, their nature, their self-righteousness, their entitlement, their expectation, their judgments, and their artificial sweetness. And like the face of the famine, who emerges is not pretty, or it's old wolf in the sheep clothing metaphor with a twist. But we don't think of our upright, church-going, synagogue-attending folks as wolves, of course, no. We think of them as perhaps misguided or traditional instead. Well, they mean well. They seek to be devout. They're following what they were taught, and they don't mean any harm, you know. And then Jesus calls them out. Because when we think of ourselves as beyond repentance or no need of redemption, danger lurks. And Nazareth had become a drastic part of people just like old-time dinosaurs. They were so righteous and devout. Surely God's blessing would come upon them first, wouldn't you think? Surely they deserved all the favor of God that God could muster, and surely Jesus came to lift them and restore the name of Nazareth. Surely they could expect God's abundant blessing. They were, of course, God's best, and now the Messiah came from among them. The Messiah from Nazareth. Oh, the scripture says there's nothing good to come from Nazareth. They got a ticket to ride. Hey, hallelujah. But as we noted last week, when we look at that passage at first, their joy was short-lived. One swift move. Jesus was removing their mask, and everything in appearance afforded them and revealed an ugly interior indeed. They wanted to shove their native son off a cliff, for heaven's sakes, because he challenged their entitlement, because he ripped off their mask. Well, I do think that this would begin a series of challenges by Jesus, challenges not just to the town folk or the Pharisees or the priests, but challenges to all who pray, expecting their wishes to be granted. Challenges to those who do good in hopes of a list, just checking off the perks. Challenges to those who will follow the law, anticipating favor. Challenges to those who feel entitled, because they are, of course, chosen. And challenges to those who praise only in anticipation, as though God was a slot machine of favors, or maybe even a penny vendor of cheap and easy grace. Jesus challenges selfish faith, the kind that requires a mask in order to appear authentic. And from this point forward, I think we'll see again and again Jesus challenge hypocrisy, pretend to be pompousness and showiness, and not just those in power, but even some of his own disciples. And from this point on, Jesus will spend his entire ministry demonstrating an advocacy for authenticity. Jesus said, test the Spirit, make sure it's of me. For if there's anything that we learn from Jesus, it's that God cherishes an opened and revealed heart. Now, it may be a damaged heart, and it may be a suffering heart, and it may be an oozing with pain heart, guilt, and shame. But God cherishes an authentic heart. For God cannot repair what is not revealed as broken. Now, this is the first Sunday of the month, and on this day we practice Holy Communion, and we come to Christ's table with broken hearts. Hearts that have undergone years of hiding and pain and loneliness and suffering. Hearts that have endured doubt, fear, disappointment, disillusionment. Hearts that have been confused. Hearts that we have not known where to turn, but yet beating human hearts. So what is placed in God's hand can be molded, restored, and made beautiful anew. Now this is the core of repentance, and everything that Jesus and his predecessor John the Baptist preached to the people of Israel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And it defines Jesus' ministry, and it drove his ministry. So that day in Nazareth, Jesus could not heal anyone because repentance was not found. But God would find repentance in the hearts of many, and he healed the sick and the outcasts and the hopeless and the blind. So today, as we come to the table of repentance, repentance in your hearts, remove the masks that bind you to illusions and pain, and experience the freedom that Jesus can offer. And allow him to remove your mask, remake your spirit, and lift you up into the joy and thanksgiving. For the time of the Lord has come. And we know the end of the story. We do. Yeah, read the book of Revelation all the way back to the end. He has won. He is risen. And he is now comes the time to take the mask off and accept Christ into your life. In Jesus' precious name.